Hey, Marilyn.
Hey, Lisa.
So I am so excited about today's episode. It is both rich and complex and about so many really important things like feedback, relationships, communication, how to say some of the things that you really want.
How to make them land, and how to make them land with different people and tailoring them.
How to make this agile and communicate with different people in different cultures. I think we live in such a global world today. Most everybody has at least one or two people in their life, at work, at home, living next door, people from different cultures. And how do you communicate with them? How do you say things so that it can really be heard and it can really land?
Ooh, that's a lively conversation.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. We hope that you all enjoy this episode.
Yeah, coming right up. Hi, this is the People Impact Podcast. We are two visionary coaches passionate about having a positive impact on the way people lead and work together. This is for you if you're interested in expanding your perspective on the humans you work with and on yourself as a human being. For all of you out there who are interested in new perspectives, insights, and inspiration, featuring Lisa Dempsey
Hello.
and me, Marjolein Fleur. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Marjolein.
We have an interesting topic today.
We do. I'm really excited to dive into this one because it's one that shows up regularly in the leadership coaching that I do. We'll just dive into it, I think. It's a concept called radical candor. It was developed, and I think the term was coined by Kim Scott. There's a whole entire book, there's a website, there's a whole bunch of stuff that is out there and available about it. But it's basically a really, really useful model for, most of the time, it's positioned as feedback, but I find it useful in just any sort of human relations. Any kind of conversation you need to have with another human being where you maybe need to communicate something that feels a little bit uncomfortable, right? There's just a little bit of that, oh, I'm noticing this, but it feels a little uncomfortable. I feel some resistance. I'm not quite sure how to say it. Oftentimes in organizations, it goes into the domain of, oh, I don't want to make this person mad. I don't want to demotivate them. But it's
But
important, right?
there's something that needs to be said.
So radical candor, this amazing concept developed by Kim Scott. I'm curious, what is your experience with radical candor?
Yeah, it's funny. It's so I recognize what you say about things that you kind of need to communicate in a team, in an organization, and it's harder, you don't know how, or it's not good news. It's feedback, it's criticism. And I'm seeing a cultural element to that. And there's a book that I really enjoyed reading called The Culture Map by Erin Meyer. And one of the things that she maps out is differences between cultures in how feedback is handled, how feedback is given. So that's an angle that popped up when you told me about radical candor. And so I'm Dutch. On the scale of let me see, on the scale of direct negative feedback versus indirect negative feedback. So the US, where you're from, is sort of in the middle of that scale. To places like cultures like Japan, Thailand, Indonesia, Ghana as well, Saudi Arabia, are on the very indirect style of that scale. So the Netherlands, alongside Israel and Russia, are way, way, way on the very, very direct scale. So to me, Radical
outliers.
candor feels like every average day in the Netherlands. And the navigating would actually be like, how do you not make it too harsh, rather than how do you not make it too soft, perhaps, because that's also part of, radical, but not go overboard. But it's funny how this is like, oh, but is this a thing? Because this is not a new thing. This is how Dutch people just navigate every day
That
in their
feels
lives, and it's
very
really just,
average, very normal.
yeah. So yes, it's an interesting concept, and yes, there's a cultural element to it. I believe, yeah.
Well, sure, there, and I think that, that scale of the comfort of communicating in this way. So let's be clear. It's number one, I like to call it just a communication tool, because it isn't just for feedback. It can be useful for all kinds of conversations. But of course, one of the things that we know inside of organizations, particularly, one of the biggest challenges people face is how do you bring that constructive feedback in a way that it can be heard? How do you have those difficult conversations, right? We've seen for decades upon decades, managers of all sorts, and including I've worked with Dutch managers who struggle to have those difficult conversations.
Sure, yeah.
But it also happens at home, right? It happens inside our personal relationships, whether it be with kids or partners, family members. We want to avoid those uncomfortable conversations because we're afraid of hurting people's feelings, we're afraid of the fallout. And so I find this to be a really useful kind of communication model. Shall we run through for our listeners who are not familiar with this concept? Shall we run through very briefly what it is in just its most basic form?
Yes, please.
So if you think of sort of a four square, so a 2x2, whereby on the vertical axis, that is the measure of how much are you caring personally for an individual? How much empathy is present? And then if you think about the horizontal of that, so going across, how willing are you to challenge directly or tell the truth, right? Bring that brutal honesty that the Dutch are so famous for. And so you end up with then four squares. So in the lower right-hand corner, and we'll in the show notes include a link so you can see a visual of this, but in the lower right-hand corner, where you have a huge amount, you're very high on the truth-telling or the challenging directly, but very low on the caring personally or the empathy. That's the space of obnoxious aggression, where you're just, I'm just saying it like it is, and this is what it is,
You
right?
don't care about how it lands. You don't care about maintaining the relationship. You're just full on truth, no matter how much it hurts
Yeah,
or
just truth.
black.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that leads frequently to defensiveness and little change in the situation because people, it feels like an attack, right? There's a lot of truth telling. So you're saying a lot of what needs to be said, but there's such little empathy brought, it makes people defensive. If you move to the next box, so where there is less truth telling and a lack of empathy. So here you have an absence of truth and you have an absence of empathy. That's what Kim Scott calls manipulative insincerity. So this is that space where you're saying, oh, no, it's fine. No, it's really not a problem.
When it actually isn't fine. Yeah, so the truth is out.
And that breeds mistrust, right? People feel, we have mirror neurons. They feel something is off. They feel that you are not speaking the truth and you're somehow, there's not enough empathy to be invested in actually telling the truth, brushing it off. Then if you move up to the upper left-hand quadrant where there isn't a lot of truth-telling, but there is more empathy. So here you're seeing an increase in empathy, but not a significant increase in truth-telling. That is what is known as the space of ruinous empathy. So that's the space where often you're so afraid of how it's going to land with somebody. You not only pretend that everything is okay, but you go, no, everything's fine. No, really, really, actually, you're doing a great job. I'm happy. This is good. And you're bringing a huge amount of empathy because you don't want to hurt the person's feelings. But that breeds ignorance. That person feels in the dark. There is a problem, but they have no idea what it is.
Yeah, and the problem doesn't get solved because you're not speaking about it.
Yeah,
There's
the
a
problem.
there's a Dutch phrase that says soft and gentle doctors create stinky wounds.
Ah, yeah, I love
It's
that.
very literal translation, but that's what
Yeah.
it says. Yeah,
Yeah.
if you're too soft and if too easy, then you're not going to make it better, and you might even make it worse. Starts to ooze and infect.
Yeah, and it spreads, right? This person who's maybe displaying a kind of behavior, a way of being that's not useful, they have no idea that it's a problem. So it just continues and it spreads and it oozes like that stinky wound. Yeah. And then the fourth quadrant is the space of radical candor, where there is the caring personally, there is the empathy. And there's the willingness to challenge somebody directly. There is that space of truth telling. And this is the space of growth and profound change. It's where you can have that meaningful conversation about that difficult topic and have it be heard. Right? And it often leads to not only better relationships, but a deeper sense of connection. You know, it's in its most simple form, it's that telling a stranger, oh, hey, psst, you know what? You have some spinach in your teeth. And, you know, here's a mirror to help take it off, right? It's that uncomfortable thing of you know, saying to the stranger, like, oh, you've got a big black thing in your teeth. And even though I don't know you, I'm going to care enough because you might be walking into a really important meeting. And so I'm going to take a moment to share this with you.
A friend of mine was just saying that recently. She her the leg one of the legs of her trousers got stuck in her sock, and she'd been
Oh.
walking around in, at work with that the whole time, and no one had said anything. And the feeling that she described and that we probably both recognize is, why didn't anyone tell me?
Right.
Yeah, and it's, why did no one care enough to tell me? They probably noticed, and it could also be true that they didn't notice. They weren't hiding the truth, but it could also be that no one cared enough to say it.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have those simple things happened? I know I've experienced it, and then like, why did nobody say anything to me? I've had this, you know, I've had this seed in my front tooth all day long. And why didn't anybody say anything?
Yeah, so be kind and say something. That's radical candor.
Yeah,
It's
in its
funny.
most simple form, right? I mean, you don't have any skin in the game. It just takes a few minutes, but it's caring enough about that person, you know, having enough empathy to think, yeah, you know, they might be headed someplace important. Why don't I
And it's
take a moment?
there's a positive situation here as well. I had a drinks with a group of colleagues recently, and someone came in and I said, "Wow, you look radiant. You look really great today." And I couldn't think it and not say it, or I could just say it. And then the person next to me said, "Oh, I was just thinking the same." And well, and now it's your opportunity to say, "I completely agree with you. You look great." And I was the one who said it, and then they chimed in, which is great. But that's it. That's radical candor too, I guess.
Well, it's, having the empathy to take the moment to share that piece of feedback. So it, indeed, it doesn't have to just be criticism. It doesn't have to just be the negative. And sharing those acknowledgments can be incredibly valuable because, of course, we know from neuroscience that for every piece of criticism we receive, we need to receive 6 to 10 pieces of positive feedback in order to keep the emotional bank account in balance. And it's because we carry such negative bias with us. And so indeed, incorporating those acknowledgments, incorporating those positive pieces, and having the empathy to just simply notice, like, you look really great today. You're glowing is
That's feedback too, and I wouldn't say it if it weren't true. I mean, that's also part of this point. I'm saying it because it's true.
These all need to be true pieces. So you want to stay very much out of the manipulative insincerity, the that we all know when we receive kind of that fake compliment, like,
Oh,
oh,
you look
I look so
cool.
nice. Yeah, it's sort of hollow, or, oh, I really like your shoes, just because somebody's looking to say something nice. I remember once going on a date a very long time ago, and the person saying to me, "Oh, I love your shoes," and you're just like, "Oh, you read that somewhere? Like, you don't care about my shoes, and it's perfectly fine. You don't need to." And truth telling, really, this being authentic feedback, that there, this be rooted in something that you feel is particularly important, valuable, true, real. What part of this, I'm curious, what part of this do you recognize most, Marlene? No, knowing, of course, that you are Dutch, and so there is a lot of truth telling in Dutch society. Sometimes it falls in the obnoxious aggression category.
It's so it culturally, I mean, not individually, but culturally, it tends to fall into that category more than in the category of, not telling the truth and just sort of coddling. That's why we have that phrase, because every person in the Netherlands gets told, don't be too gentle because you'll make stinky wounds. That's the instructions you receive in life in the Netherlands. And what it so one thing is, I appreciate you explaining more about radical candor, because at first sight I thought that's nothing new. That's what I've been raised in. So what, what's the big aha thing here? And I really appreciate you explaining it more and diving in, because yes, we do want both. We want the caring and we want the truth, in radical candor, right? Those are the two ingredients. That you both want to amp up, and that you both, so I'm holding my, you can't see this because you're audio only. I'm holding my hand up and turning
Like there's
it
a
around, like
dial.
I'm twisting a dial. If you want to dial both up to the right level. And what I'm realizing from a cultural perspective and working with different people from different cultures a lot, this is about cultural diversity, cultural inclusion, and also about one-on-one interactions for me in my experience, not just Dutch culture, I mean, is that the frame of reference and the cultural background that someone will have, it of course, in addition to their individual differences, but also their cultural background, will mean that how they perceive where you sort of what number you put that dial of truth and caring depends, is impacted by the culture that they have been that they find normal, in
Yeah,
quotation
somebody's
marks, that they're
baseline
used
point
to.
of reference.
So if you're used to a lot of truth, and the implication is that even with a little bit of a tiny indication of care is already enough because you're Dutch, and you get you're so used to it that you're getting a lot of truth and only a little care, and that little care, a tiny indication already means a lot. Or even, and this is interesting, this is something that Erin Meyer describes in one of the examples in her book, the telling the truth itself to a Dutch person, a Dutch culture, indicates that you care. Not telling the truth in Dutch culture means, don't you even care enough to tell me the truth? That's how important truth is, or feedback is, or you know, unfiltered information. You know, tell me the truth because that shows me that you care. And that is wildly different in different cultures. That's just different. So in other places, telling a tiny bit of truth, giving a tiny piece of feedback is extrapolated. And you only need a tiny bit because it gets extrapolated and inferred what you mean and picked up and taken on. And you need a whole bunch of caring because, you know, that's what's needed most. So it lands very differently in different cultures. And yeah, so I'm also thinking, well, I'm assuming is Kim Scott's American? Like this is it lands the concept lands differently in American culture than it would in you know, in this list, Israel or the Netherlands versus Thailand or Japan. And I find that an interesting lens. And I find that sort of an additional, so I've the concept of radical candor first, and then the additional lens is, okay, well, if this is an international group or if this is someone from a different culture than mine, where you put the dial in full on radical candor, full on truth, and full on caring might be perceived differently. Your indications of, hey, here's some truth, hey, here's some caring, might be interpreted, might land differently in different cultures. And that's just a useful thing to take into account.
Well, I think like all communication, it needs to be tailored to the person that you are trying to communicate, you are trying
Exactly.
to connect with.
Yeah.
It's not a blanket formula, you know, of, oh, if I tell just a little bit of, you know what, I really value your opinion, I really value your input, and here's some truth,
Yeah, you want to
right?
tailor it to your audience always. I mean, first of all, you choose your language to, I mean, it's a Dutch person, you can speak Dutch if you can. But you tailor everything, you tailor your communications to your audience, to who it's aimed at. And this is part of that. Yeah.
But I what I think is so valuable in understanding this just as a basic concept is that, again, there is such value in being willing to have those difficult conversations, and that the really difficult conversations can be made so much more productive by bringing just a little bit of empathy. And it's that calibration of it doesn't have to be all one or the other, right? It isn't you need to just rip the band-aid off and go out and, you know, tell the truth and say, you know what, this you did really badly, right? And it's also not you need to pat it and coddle somebody and make something so soft
Yeah,
that.
it's okay, but yeah, if you could maybe just do a little, it's all right. No.
And it's that it, you know, it gives a dynamic way for people to indeed dial in what can be said in such a way that it can really be heard. And it will never be exactly the same for, you know, two human beings. There is always a little bit of that tailoring. Maybe there's somebody who, you know, they've been working really hard. You know, they've been trying and trying and trying, investing a huge amount of energy, and it's just not going well. Well, you know, how you communicate, oh, you know, this isn't working out. This outcome isn't good to that person that you know has really been trying, is very different from the person who you see, just not really heavily invested. It's kind of an afterthought, and there's a bad outcome. Those are two very different frameworks of feedback. One requires that acknowledgement of, I see how hard you've been trying. I really see the amount of effort and energy you've been putting into this. I see how important this is to you, and I really appreciate that. But we need to have an honest conversation about the actual outcomes. Because the return on your investment of your energy is probably not where you want it to be. Let's sit down and have a conversation about what's happening, because I see how valuable this is to you. Right?
There's a lot of
Versus,
care in that voice that you just used. Yeah, I assume your tone as well.
absolutely. You can use the same words and have completely different meaning.
Exactly.
Versus that person who you see half checking in, what they're doing is kind of an afterthought. They're not really invested. And then that's a conversation of, I'm observing the way that you're showing up, and I have concerns because we're also having outcomes that are not great. But I believe you have really good potential. Right? I believe in the possibility that exists here for you. So let's have a conversation about why you're not more invested and why these outcomes are very poor and what we need to do in order to change that.
Yeah, I'm hearing you invite truth too. It's not even, it's not only sharing truth, but also inviting truth. I could share what's true for you. So we can take that and move forward with it. Yeah.
Indeed. And it, feedback conversations always need to be a two-way conversation. But I think that's what so many people are very afraid of, is they're afraid of what is the response going to be? What is going, what sort of response is this truth-telling, but with empathy, what kind of response is that going to elicit? Right.
So what's a good takeaway for our listeners to, as soon as this episode ends, what can they do? What can they think about? What can they consider?
Well, what I would hope is that listeners think about that thing that's maybe been niggling at them, that little, it may not feel big, but it's running around, it's rattling around in your brain. And think about how can you frame some communication, some feedback about that. With radical candor, how can you bring empathy? How can you acknowledge, what somebody's doing, what they're trying, and still tell the truth? Say what it is that's going on.
Nice.
And give it a try. See how it goes. It requires some vulnerability, so it's always going to be slightly uncomfortable, but think the way in which it can improve communication and improve relationships and improve the way that we understand each other as human beings is incredible.
Yeah. And it's okay if it's uncomfortable because that's when you're growing.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're definitely in a growth area if you're doing something that feels uncomfortable.
Yeah. Try it out. Try it out. If it's slightly new or slightly adjusted. Yeah. Yeah.
What is your wish? What is your wish for our listeners?
Well, one is to take a tiny pause and think, hey, in what way do I care about truth and about caring? Caring for other people, having, solid relationships and spending time on that and, sort of connect with that personally. What does that mean to you? And my sense is that most people listening, hi everyone, you care about both of these things. So notice that and maybe sort of have a hypothesis of where you naturally, as a default, sort of move towards more truth or more caring, or maybe this corner of that quadrant or that corner of the quadrant in general and in specific situations. And then see how you want to, change that. I'm holding up my hand again. Change that dial and put it to a different setting and try it out. And I just called it a hypothesis because I do see the option that your own self-image of, hey, I might be too blunt, is where other people say, actually, not at all. But just to investigate that and try it out. And
Give
put
it a
both the
go.
caring and the truth, and even try it out in those small situations where you point out someone has something in their teeth or or they look really nice today.
Give it a go in small doses. If you don't have to take on a massive conversation right away.
And if it's a bigger one, and because that just happens to be the conversation that you have later today or tomorrow. Yeah, notice your go-to and notice what you want to, how you want to show up instead this time. Where do you want to set the dials?
My dog is here giving me feedback saying she's ready for her lunch. In case anybody's wondering what that noise is in the background, it's
Probably
my
do, yeah, doing it in a caring way, I'm sure.
Yes, there's very little demanding. There's no obnoxious aggression, but there's
Thank you. Thanks for this conversation, and thanks for saying more about radical candor and exploring it. This is interesting. So we'll share the link to more information about both of these books, obviously in the show notes. And thank you for listening. If you appreciated this episode, or there's someone you want to be radically candid to, please share this either directly online with the link, or send or use the People Impact Podcast link in your favorite podcast app. You can subscribe there too to make sure that you're the first to learn about our newest episodes. We have a whole new season coming up. We love hearing your feedback, your guest suggestions, your topic requests, and your stories of what's on your mind in the workplace. And we can dive into that too in this next season. So do let us know. And until next time, bye.